Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to the cast of the upcoming film, Detroit. The movie opens in limited Atlanta theaters this weekend and nationwide on August the 4th and chronicles the riots of 1967 along with the infamous Algiers Motel shooting. Upfront also talks to Emil Thomas, artistic director of Marietta's new theater in the square, about their new production of Bright Half Life. And reality star Janice Shelton is in the studio to talk about her Bring Our Children Home 5K and Family Day. We'll also be playing music from Incognito, Gregory Porter, and Sade. But first, here's this week's casting buzz in entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for male stand-ins and photo doubles for the new feature film, Umpire. The African-American actor should be 70 years or older with a height of 6'6" to 7'1". This is a 7-week shoot beginning August 7th through September, and the actor's schedules must be flexible. If you are interested, please submit to umpire at centralcasting.com with stand-in in the subject line of the email. The Fox series star is looking for men and women of all ethnicities to portray hip musicians and entertainment industry professionals for the second season. The actors must appear to be between the ages of 20 to 30 years old and must be able to shoot on Thursday, August 3rd. If this is you, please submit your name, phone number, location, and current photo to star@centralcasting.com. In other related entertainment news, Oprah Winfrey's Harpo Films is partnering with award-winning filmmaker Ava DuVernay on a first-look deal for television and digital media. The first collaboration is with DuVernay's recently announced limited drama series Central Park 5 for Netflix. In addition to the partnership, OWN has renewed DuVernay's hit series Queen Sugar for a third season. The show will also feature veteran actors Michael Michelle and Roger Guinevere Smith and Beverly Todd later on this season. Go to WCLK.com for all the details. Don't forget to watch tomorrow night's episode of TV One's Unsung at 10 p.m. It will profile the 70s group The Dramatics, who peppered the music charts with such hit records as What You See Is What You Get and In the Rain. It will also feature interviews with surviving members along with Snoop Dogg and Cedric the Entertainer. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Hey, this is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
First guest is Emil Thomas, artistic director for Marietta's new theater in the square. The company is presenting Tanya Barfield's Bright Half Life now through August the 6th. The two-woman show focuses on the marriage of Erica and Vicky and the pivotal moments in their five-decade relationship. From Ferris wheels to children to skydiving and more, the show examines the moments that make a life together. Thomas stopped by up front to chat about directing the show, how he chose his actresses, and why he was compelled to add this production to his already busy season. Well, good morning, Emil, and welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good morning to you.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you back.
I'm so glad. I'm glad it's family around here.
Yeah, you know, so you guys were here talking about Native Son. You also had La Gringa.
Yes.
And now you've got this brand new show, which is playing now through August the 5th. We're talking about Bright Half Life over at Marietta's new theater in the square. So let's talk a little bit about the show.
Yeah, Bright Half Life is a two-person show. So it deals with two females who get into a relationship, and it spans over 50 years. So it's a special show because there's no spectacle. So there's no light design. There's no sound design. There's just this simplistic set that is minimalistic. And the show deals with them going from almost 1985 all the way to 2030. And you get little pieces at a time of the story as it unfolds. So as you go through the play, you figure out what happened in their life that kept them together or separated them.
Right. Now, how do you, because you mentioned that it spans over a 50-year period, how do you transition from one decade to the next and keep the audience
engaged.
Yeah. Well, the playwright doesn't really tell you when they write it where they are. So there's this map that we had to create. But in the performance, what you see is there's a transition and everything's repetitive. So you always know that line is resorted to the first thing we did. And so what you'll see is that we put everything in the same place on stage. So you're always seeing this map on stage of the actors going back to where they were at this year or this decade.
Okay. This is a two woman show. So yes. It's, you know, and this is a, 2 hour show?
It's 70 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
It's not long at all. Okay. It's not long at all.
Okay. How do you keep the audience engaged with two? Because it's almost kind of like a one-man show where it's like, look, yeah. It's just you, dude. So you gotta, you gotta keep the audience engaged. So how do the ladies do that for the audience?
I think it's the biggest challenge, but they're very successful every night in doing it. They go through a very intense warm up that connects the two of them together. And then what you see is there is a youthfulness when they're young and there's a maturity when they're old. And it's beautiful because the playwright lets you deal with the youth and the wisdom back and forth. And so that energy is always getting thrown back. And so the audience has to always pick up the energy and understand where they are. And so it's like figuring out a puzzle. Puzzles are fun for us. We're challenged by the puzzle. And so this play is a puzzle for us to get to know.
Yeah. Now, this wasn't a part of your regular season. You sort of added or you kind of snuck this.
Yeah,
this
I snuck show it in there. Yeah.
So what was it about the show that made you decide, look, we want to add this to the current season?
We were doing a lot of work that was new and contemporary and a lot of work that was reaching communities. And that was something that we were really interested in. It was really important for us to continue to reach out to communities and let them know that this inclusive theater was here and they're making work for you. And the one thing that I hadn't done yet was reach out to the LGBTQ community. And that was really important to me. And so I landed on this show because I said it's new. It hasn't been done here. I love the fact that it is about two women, even though it's really not about two women. It's just about love and how love
manifests itself.
Yeah. Right. And right. So but we get to also say, you know, let's watch the story through a different lens, which is something Theater in the Square is always doing. We're always watching something through a new lens. And so I landed on this set. Why not? It's for the summer. Let's do it.
Yeah. Now, the show stars Kate Ash as Erica and Malika McCarron Cobb.
Yes.
Okay. As Vicky. So what was it about those two actresses that made you say, you know what, you've got the role?
Well, so Malika was in Native Son with me and she played Betsy and she stole me there. And after that, I was like, that's it. I'll work with you for forever. You got it. That was a special performance and production for all of us. Kate is new to the area, which is always something that's fascinating to me, is bringing new artists onto the stage and giving them a platform to start off. When I auditioned Kate, she had this new energy, this rawness, this thing that was something I hadn't seen before in a while. And Malika's very edgy and she's a risk taker and she's willing to go the journey no matter what. And so I said, what better way to do a show with two females than to put two strong females together that are going to challenge me to create a show that's actually true to the content? I understand that I'm a male and I'm a black male, Hispanic black male that doesn't necessarily need to be doing a show about LGBTQ because I don't personally identify with it. I don't believe, though, that I can't do it justice for the community that I believe in and the people I believe in. And Malika and Kate and I all share those same views. And so it was important for us to do a show that was for our community members to let them know that we feel, you know, you feel loved and you feel supported here. And so that was our goal. And hopefully we feel like we've done it. We've done it in this.
Yeah. Now, any challenges for you? Because the last two shows included a much larger cast. And
yes.
So now you're just working with two actors. So for you as a director, were there any challenges for you going from such a large cast to a small cast?
I personally love large casts, but I love the small cast just as much. And the reason is because when it's two people, you get to spend so much time with the characters. The large cast, you have to always split yourself on who I'm going to be able to get to today. And if I don't make it to them, I got to make it to them tomorrow. Every night I know I get to spend a hefty amount of time with each character. And so every character is developing and manifesting every night. And so you get really close with those characters and you get really personal with them, and they have depth in them like you can't imagine. So you know the backstory from 1985 all the way to 2030, right? Yeah. And for a story like this, that's important. That's the goal.
I think this is so timely because Moonlight walked away with Best Picture of the Year, which I think it was the first LGBTQ film to walk away with that honor. So being able to bring this story to the state, Atlanta stage, what do you think is the takeaway message, and what will really pull audiences in to see this story?
It's cliche, but Lin-Manuel Miranda said, love is love is love is love is love. And that's how I work. And Bright Half-Life is love is love is love is love. And after doing two dark shows, it's good to go. Let's just focus on love for a little while and not focus on anything else. And let's just feel good. Let's go to the theater and laugh and smile and have our heart broken in the soft way and not the way that rips you out. And you have to figure out, you know, what broke you. Let's just love each other for a little while. It's summertime. Let's have fun.
Cool. Well, that is Emil Thomas from Marietta's New Theater in the Square. And we're talking about the production of Bright Half-Life, which is playing now through August the 5th. They can get information about the show at
theaterinthesquare.net, or they can call the box office 770-426-4800.
All right. Thanks so much, Emil.
And thank you for having me.
Welcome to come back.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Upfront listeners, you can now follow us on Instagram under Upfront the Show. We'll have exclusive photos, giveaways, and much more. That's Upfront the Show on Instagram.
1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City is burning. That ain't right. 1960 what? 1960 who? 1960 what? 1960 who? 19. Hey, the Motor City is burning, y'all. That ain't right.
That was the voice of Grammy-winning jazz singer Gregory Porter performing his hit single 1960 What. The song was inspired by the Detroit riots of 1967, which is now the subject of a new feature-length film titled Detroit. The movie chronicles the tumultuous events that led up to the riots and the Algiers Motel shooting, where three African-American teenagers were killed and nine others, including two white women, were abused by the Detroit Police Department, Michigan State Police, and the Michigan National Guard. The film is also directed by Oscar winner Kathryn Bigelow. Upfront caught up with five of the film's cast members last month during the Essence Festival: Al G. Smith, Jacob Lattimore, Nathan Davis Jr., Joseph David Jones, and Ephraim Sykes. Here's what they told Upfront about being a part of such a historical project.
It's awesome to be telling the stories with my brothers, so I feel amazing and I feel honored to be with these guys. So, yeah.
It's a great time right now, man, like, especially for us just as a community of people, and like you're saying, for us brothers and for us, even our black women, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of us that's really shining right now, so I feel amazing to be a part of that, a part of the new regime that's coming up, that the OGs are gracing us, you know what I'm saying, leaving us with, and as they exit, so it's dope, man. I'm super proud, super happy about it.
Yeah, man, it's important for us to tell our stories, you know, and expose truth and protesting, you know, whether it's from movies or we standing in the streets holding up signs or whatever, you know what I mean? It's important for us to tell our stories, and we're excited to be a part of this one, man. Kathryn Bigelow found something in us that we don't really see in ourselves sometimes, but it captures so well on screen. The story is very relevant to a lot of stories going on today in the news, and it's culturally relevant. We're excited about it, man.
The cast also opened up about why this movie is relevant for the times.
I feel like it's been overall very humbling, especially to constantly be seeing the parallels and what is in our story back in the 60s and what's still happening today. So, like, I the relevance of it and how powerful it is, and being I'm speaking too far away from my the relevance of it and how powerful it is to be able to kind of give a voice to the voiceless and these stories that haven't been told, because I really feel that healing can only begin when people have been heard. You know, and it's so amazing and so humbling to be the people who are adding this voice.
Yeah, man, truly, like everybody said, it's a blessing to be a part of something like this right now. And you know, the fact that this film is being made at all, that is discussing something that I don't think has been discussed nearly enough, not just with the police brutality and, you know, but literally what happened to the city of Detroit, what happened in that era. You know what I mean? It's something that has, I talk to a lot of people and they, like, they have no clue that the riots even took place, why Detroit is the way it is right now. And then to start to get into, you know, I had a conversation with somebody the other day that it speaks to empathy, hopefully, and hopefully will educate people. So I thank God for the opportunity that, you know, you were making a film about it that's going to be released majorly across the country to hopefully bring about some conversation that will bring about change. So I thank God for the possibility of change right now, because a lot of things seem hopeless, you know?
The Band of Brothers also talked about the takeaway message for the film.
The takeaway message that I got from this is that police criminality should be treated as any criminality in our society. Like, they shouldn't be a different standard or a different set of rules for them. And I feel like once we allow a voice to be extended to the voiceless, like, we'll truly have this understanding and empathy so that we can, like Ephraim said before, bring about change.
Just to touch on what Ephraim was saying, is empathy. We want people to feel empathy, but also, like, just like JoJo was saying, we want to be able to take a stand. And as young people growing up and seeing what's going on out here, and it's been going on for a minute, but just to see it now, we see it on our cameras, and to see that, we ain't trying to stand for that. So that's why it's a blessing of us being a part of this film, because we getting up here saying, just like JoJo, if it's any injustice, it's injustice, period, no matter what system it's in. And if it's a whole system that's corrupted, then it's the system. It's like if you work at I'm not gonna say a store, but if you work at some, like, famous store and the top of the store is corrupted and you just a bottom worker, you're still working in a corrupted store no matter what. And so it's like we just here to preach a message of love, empathy, and try to get people to see a very important message. That's it.
Yeah, and this is something that happened 50 years ago, man, and it's still the same. You know what I mean? We're still seeing the similar stories, and like I said, it's important for us to keep pushing that envelope and to show that, you know, we're not lying about, we're not being biased with each other. Like, this is a real thing, and I think it's important for all communities to see it.
Even for the people like me, I grew up never understanding police brutality. Like, I never really saw, like, racism and all that stuff. So doing this film and just, like, researching and, like, understanding everything, like, I think it is important for people that's not aware of those situations to be aware and to, like, understand, you know. So I think it's gonna be great for everybody, you know.
Thanks, guys. We'll hear more from the cast of Detroit, but first, Upfront recently sat down with Married to Medicine star Janice Shelton to chat about her upcoming event, Bring Our Children Home 5K and Family Day. It takes place on Saturday, August 5th at the Porter Sanford Performing Arts Center in Decatur, and brings awareness to the issue of human sex trafficking, as well as missing and exploited children. Shelton talked to Upfront about why this issue is at an all-time high right here in the Metro Atlanta area.
Well, Janice Shelton, welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
So good to see you.
So good to see you, too.
It's been a while.
It has, but it's always great to come back home.
Yeah. Yes. Usually we hear your voice before the show.
Yes.
But now we got you back in the studio.
Whoop, whoop.
And we're going to be talking about something serious, but before we get started, you guys are actually in the middle of taping Married to Medicine, correct?
We are, but for season 5, I'm actually doing small cameo appearances. I'm really focused on other projects and especially my foundation with this event.
Cool. Yeah, you guys have this amazing event that is taking place on August the 5th. We're talking about human sex trafficking. Didn't realize that Atlanta was still holding that number one spot for that. Wow.
Yes.
So how did you get involved with this? Because this is a subject matter that is very serious. A lot of folks really don't even want to go down that road. But how did you get involved with this?
You know what? It's so interesting, because as a mother, as a wife, as an aunt, as a friend, a mother of 6 black children, you know, I'm really concerned at the fact that, you know, our children, our black and brown children, can go missing in this country and there's no outcry, there's no media attention, there's no, you know, awareness being raised around these kids. And especially here in Atlanta being the largest hub for sex trafficking, we are in a state of emergency. We're in an epidemic right now, and our children are going missing. And, you know, it's to the point where they are snatching our children out of the backyards while they're playing and snatching them, abducting them, exploiting them. So we have a serious problem. So I wanted to use my platform for Married to Medicine to raise awareness to this crisis. And that's why the event is August 5th, Bring Our Children Home, Family Fun Day, and it's a 5K as well.
Yeah. Now, what can those that are listening, what can they expect in addition to the 5K run?
Absolutely. So it's a 5K run. Again, now my foundation is Our Children's Keeper. And what we do is we're actually going to be raising money to help families that have been affected by sex trafficking. So helping them with private investment investigator fees, attorney fees, and unfortunately, burial costs. A lot of these kids that are abducted don't make it to see their 18th birthday. They are murdered, unfortunately. So we're helping with financial relief for the families. So the 5K starts at 8:30, and then the panel discussions go right into start at 11 o'clock. So the panel discussions is a list of celebrities. Then we have law enforcement, politicians, government officials. We have psychotherapists, psychiatrists, because we need to talk about why is Atlanta the high spots? Why are some areas hotter than others? And then on the fortunate side, when these girls are recovered, how do we rehabilitate them? What does that process look like? And then the last panel is my favorite. I have a panel of nothing but fathers, active, positive role models in their children's lives, because we need to bridge that gap. You know, fathers need to understand what a vital role they play in a child's life, especially a little girl, because the research has shown that 63% of the girls that are abducted come from fatherless homes. So we need to make sure that these girls, during they're being preyed on between the ages of 10 and 14, those are the most formidable years. So those are the years that we're looking for security and confidence, and it develops us as a woman, and that's what we get from our fathers. You know, our fathers are always our first love. So those type of skills and just security levels, we get that from our dads. So talking about that and how we bridge that gap between the dad and the daughter.
Yeah. Now, why do you think Atlanta is? I mean, I think I already know the answer in my mm-hmm. head, but why do you think Atlanta is the number mm-hmm. one city? What is it about mm-hmm. our city that so many absolutely. People, you know, come yes. here and that's basically, mm-hmm. that's their part of their agenda?
Mm-hmm. Well, the biggest thing is because we have an international airport. Atlanta has the largest airport and the busiest airport in the country. So that right there is a major opportunity for sex trafficking. And then at the same time, we have a big, huge entertainment district that keeps on developing. So again, it's just a pretty much like a incubator. It's just helping develop and birth these type of behaviors. And then, of course, the social media is a huge aspect too. A lot of our kids are on social media, Snapchat, and they're being preyed on, and they're being approached by different predators on social media. But the biggest thing is the airport and this entertainment district that keeps on developing and getting bigger.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned some celebrities. So who do you have joining you for this event?
I'm so excited. We have Q Parker from 112. We have Julian Brentano from Shots Fired and Greenleaf. We have Dennis White from Notorious B.I.G. We have Erica Dixon from Love & Hip Hop. Angel Love from Basketball Wise, Frankie from Queen Sugar. Then we have Dahlia Racine, who is a district attorney for DeKalb County, Dr. Sandra Ford, director of DeKalb County Health Systems, Jennifer Lester, psychotherapist, Dr. Ron. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, we have DJ Fidelph. We just have so many powerful people that have came behind this project and supported from the very beginning. So I'm just truly excited and humbled and thankful to have all of them a part of this project.
Now, how can someone who's listening get involved with, you know, I guess becoming more of a advocate for this issue?
Yes, and that's such an important question, because we need so many people to jump on board with this. The website again is ourchildrenskeeper.org. It's ourchildrenskeeper.org, and we really have to talk about rebuilding our village. Our village is broken, and we don't have those grandmothers and those aunts that used to look out for the kids when we were little. We don't have that anymore, so we definitely have to rebuild that village. So it's really important that we get all of us, everyone out to this event. So not just talk about it, but leave with a pledge, a commitment on how we're going to be more vigilant in our community. When we see something that doesn't look right, we need to talk about it, because we have this misconception now that the Johns and the pedophiles are these older men. No, they're being very strategic. Now, they've been very creative. You know, pedophiles come as madams now, women that come off as grandmothers and aunts. So they have a very unassuming disposition, a very nurturing, but they're predators. And then you have other teenagers that they've lured and they're grooming to lure these other teenagers into the prostitution as well, sex trafficking. So it's a huge problem. And then sex trafficking is only one element. It's human trafficking is the cover. And then we have organ trafficking. That's huge, too. Organ trafficking, you know, they're taking the organs from our children and our just African Americans in general and selling it on a black market. So we have a huge problem. We have a major, major problem. So it's about these dialogues right here, having conversation, raising awareness, and us really becoming informed about what's going on in our community so we can take a stance to protect our children.
All right. Well, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank
I know this
you.
Is a little bit serious for the show, but it's still definitely something that is well needed, and they can get more information about this at...
So please go to the website, ourchildrenskeeper.org. You can go there to register to sign up to be a walker or participant for the 5K. We also are in need of sponsors and vendors. So please, please, we need everybody to come out and support this event. Please go to ourchildrenskeeper.org.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I saw a picture. How could you be so careless? How could you have done that to us?
this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last guest is Detroit actor Leon Thomas. The Broadway star and Grammy-winning recording artist stopped by Upfront this week to chat about his role in the film and working alongside the star-studded cast. He also talked about adapting to Kathryn Bigelow's unorthodox way of directing, portraying a member of the music group The Dramatics, and why this story had to be told.
Well, good morning, Leon, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine today. How you feeling, man?
Oh, man.
Yeah, we were talking about it off the air a little bit.
So let me just first of all say congratulations on an amazing film.
Thank you, man. I think
you guys did an outstanding job. Mm-hmm. And when we got an opportunity to see the film last night, when we were leaving the theater, we said that this is probably going to be a film that will receive a lot of nominations.
Wow.
I think. I think there were some performances that were outstanding. But to be very honest with you, I am still very angry at what I witnessed last night. I've never yelled at a movie screen. The only movie I've ever walked out on because it was just too much to take was The Passion of Christ.
Ooh,
and last night, I came this close to getting up and walking out because it was so real. The subject matter, everyone knows about or has heard about the Detroit riots, but I think what this really does is it really gives you a behind the scenes look of what was happening at that moment, minute by minute, situation by situation, and seeing the different lives that were intertwined in this. It's more than just a group of people getting together and angry over a situation, but you had individuals whose lives were affected. So I want to start from the top with you.
Okay.
How did you get involved with this project?
This project came across my desk after Vicki Thomas reached out to my agent and my manager. She's cast in movies like Fences and Django. You know, she's worked with Quentin Tarantino for years, and I'd been auditioning for her for different projects, and we realized that this was definitely a really good fit. But the audition process was different from anything I had ever been through before. They put 20 of the best young African-American actors and singers in one room, and they had us sing. We were improvising. I brought my guitar, and all the fellas were just kind of going back and forth, riffing and vibing. And then after that, what they did was they surprised us and had Ben O'Toole, one of the characters who plays, he plays one of the policemen, barge into the room and put us all onto a wall and stop and frisk all of us. And they were able to get a real reaction from that surprise. And that was a precursor to exactly how we were going to shoot this film in the dark. It was going to feel like a documentary. We weren't worried about the angles. We weren't worried about where our camera shot was going to happen and where the light was hitting, because we were in moments that, you know, we at most of the time had no idea about. Like most of the stunts, most of the things that you saw that were, you know, really, really, really shocking, genuinely shocked us in that moment, and that's why you got the real reactions you received. Kathryn's a genius for that, and she was really able to bring something great out of everybody.
Yeah, I read that in the notes that it's almost like you were simulating what was going to actually take place on set, but she really wanted to get real first reactions. So a lot of what we're seeing are real reactions to being slammed against the wall or having someone to grab you in a very aggressive way or throwing you to the ground. The other thing was that I think it was Algie Smith was saying that it was almost like you were acting out a play. So considering that you have been on Broadway, you were in Lion King, you were in Caroline or Change with Anika Noni Rose, who I just love.
She's amazing. Just call her Anika Noni Pipes, man. She got one of the best voices I've ever heard, man. Real.
How were you able to adapt to that way of almost like being in a play, but someone was taping it or filming it?
That was probably one of my most favorite parts of, you know, filming this this piece. She originally spoke to me a lot about my history on Broadway and was very interested in, you know, how that works and what was going on with that world. And she kind of brought that same aspect, musically speaking. You know, you deal with a lot of films, and when you see your favorite actor sing in a film, most of the time they spent a good 7 to 8 hours in the studio, and they nitpicked on every little moment to make sure that that was completely prepared for the audience. But what she did was gave us an opportunity to review the music probably 3-4 days before, a couple rehearsals, and let us sing live. And what it gave was a realistic depiction of what it would be like to hear the music from that time, and it wasn't touched and prodded, because that's not what was happening back then.
Yeah.
She's definitely a purist at heart, and the way that she shot this film really put each and every actor involved into a time machine and gave us a chance to truly just react to what was happening around us.
Now, you actually are playing someone who was a real person.
Oh,
who
the
was
Dramatics.
Part of the group, the Dramatics.
Such an amazing
yeah.
group.
So yeah. What was that? Were you able to actually talk to the person that you
I wasn't able to talk to the real Daryl, but okay. I did have an opportunity to meet Larry, who Algie depicts in the film.
Okay.
And Larry is an amazing man. He was actually in the Motown scene. Later on in the movie, we flew out to Detroit, and they put us in Hitsville, and we went into Studio A, where Marvin Gaye, where Stevie Wonder, where the Jackson 5 in the earlier days recorded some of their best hits, where Smokey Robinson was in there writing all of his joints.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, I'm a real music nerd, so that was like
a I was going to say, considering that you're a music star,
right.
What was that Thank like? I guess almost, it's almost like sort of putting yourself back into the shoes of people that sort of paved the way for you to do what you're doing today.
Paved the way, man. I mean, you know, my mentor, Babyface, one of his mentors happens to be Stevie Wonder. And just to be back in the room where it all started, where everything came together, where Stevie had the ability to feel comfortable enough to create and make something beautiful was just a true pleasure for me. It felt surreal to actually have an opportunity, not just to act in that room, but to sing. And it was definitely a dream come true.
Yeah. Now, before we started taping, you were talking about how you guys actually got together and sort of became friends before you started filming, which was really not the way that the director kind of wanted you guys to.
Well, it's
you know, so
it was interesting. Like, there's like probably like a handful of the fellas. I mean, Tyler. We grew up together in New York auditioning and going for the same roles, and it was like a healthy competition, but that was always my brother, my friend. Algie Smith, we did the New Edition movie together. Like I said, my mentor is Babyface. He did all the music for it. I did the voice of Bobby Brown for it. So Algie was at the studio a bunch before he even booked this role, and we had become, you know, really good friends, just, you know, texting and hanging. Nathan, same thing, just around.
Right.
And Jacob as well, Jacob Lattimore.
Yeah.
We had just kind of grown up around each other. And to have the opportunity to finally work with people that I admired like that, to work with Miguel, even somebody that I've admired in the music world.
Which was a surprise for us.
Yo, it was next level, man. You know, a true pleasure. Yeah.
So let me ask you, what were tensions like on the set? Because this film, again, seeing films like 12 Years a Slave or even Birth of a Nation, I left feeling disheartened at what was going on and having to relive that part of our history. But here's a film that really parallels a lot of what's happening right now with African-American men and women being killed by police officers, being killed by white police officers. And here is this situation where you have several white police officers are terrorizing these African-American men, these two white women in this hotel during this tumultuous time in Detroit, and really took the law into their own hands and just took the situation just, you know, and it's like you're sitting there and it's like, are you kidding me? Is this really happening? And it's
right.
like, oh, my God, this is what we're seeing right now. So how were the tensions, the emotions and the attitudes on set?
It was a heavy set to work on. Everybody knew that we were doing something far more important than just creation for the sake of creating. It was creation with purpose. We had to, this is probably for most of the actors involved, one of our only chances to truly do something in the world of activism outside of a social media post or just protesting. We can actually inform the public about what happened in 1967. The shocking reality is that this movie depicts something that happened 50 years ago. That's 9 years younger than my mother, you know? And the way that I look at it is, you know, when you watch a movie like 12 Years a Slave, great film, Birth of a Nation, awesome film. But we're kind of able to separate ourselves from that time period. But to see that, you know, in a time period quite similar to the one we live in today, like the 60s, you know, you can really see the effect of systematic racism within our justice system and start to compare what's happening in our current reality. And really, it really stirs up a bunch of emotions. But what we are really hoping for is that people can leave the theater with empathy, you know, really leave the theater knowing that there's something that needs to be done about this issue that still exists today.
Yeah. What did you personally learn from this experience?
You know, as a creative, I learned that trust is a magical thing to, you know, insert into anything that you're doing. Catherine trusted us. And she didn't have to do that. You know, she gave us an opportunity to improv, gave us an opportunity to go into these scenes and trust what we were doing, although we hadn't really been in the industry as long as some of the other veterans casted in this film. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with the Oscar award winning director trusting you to just, you know, use your vision, it was a beautiful opportunity. But I learned a lot about the Algiers Motel incident as well. I mean, I wasn't as informed as I should have been, as informed as we all should be, because I really feel like this is a kind of incident that was purposefully swept under the rug.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Now, after filming this, you were able to go on and do some lighter things.
Yeah,
that we
some
talked about. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, after the film, you know, I went back, I did some more music, I got back in the studio with Babyface, and we started creating some new stuff. But after that, I ended up working on a HBO show called Insecure. And for me as a black creative, to see the fact that Issa Rae was able to take her life into her own hands, from YouTube all the way into, you know, the homes of millions, is definitely, you know, it shows that real bosses are being made. And it's so amazing to see that a black woman can go in there and employ so many other African-American women. I mean, I'm seeing directors, writers, the set supervisors, down to the stylist, everybody
yeah.
with soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all powerful black women. Such a beautiful thing. I'm getting chills thinking about it, man. Because you think about just the society we live in and how the culture has progressed so much, yet we're seeing, you know, a lot of things stay the same. It's beautiful to see that now we have an opportunity to build like that.
Yeah. Well, Leon, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios.
I really appreciate you, man.
You're
definitely amazing, man. And I'm glad that you really enjoyed this film so much. I just hope people are able to go out August 4th yeah. and check this thing out. It is a huge film.
Yeah.
Huge film. And I think people need to see it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, Emil Thomas, Janice Shelton, and the cast of Detroit, Algie Smith, Jacob Lattimore, Nathan Davis Jr., Joseph David Jones, Ephraim Sykes, and Leon Thomas. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, August 5th at 9 a.m. for the season 2 opener of Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.